I want to share with you what the Lord's put on my heart tonight. I hope it can be a blessing to you the way that's been a blessing to me. I had not planned to preach this tonight, but the Lord kind of directed my heart this way before the service. And as I started digging into a little bit and dissecting it for myself, the Lord just kept blessing and kept showing me things. And so I'm very thankful for that tonight. It'll be a very practical message. I ask you, if you will, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Matthew, chapter number 6. Preached a few weeks ago, or months ago possibly. Time kind of escapes me that way. On a Wednesday night, on shutting the door, we preached on prayer. We looked at the Lord's commandment in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6. And tonight I'd like to go a little bit further into that chapter and look at some things, and I'm sure it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. These are the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says this: "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, and that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and that the Father that seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." Let me just kind of follow that statement with saying this, and we'll continue in there. It's not necessarily wrong to pray at the meeting house. It's not necessarily wrong to pray in the streets or to pray in public. What makes it wrong is what he followed that with: that they may be seen of men. Amen. I wouldn't give you a nickel for somebody that would pray in public but would not pray in secret and in private, where only the Lord sees. He goes on to say this: "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, what we've just read in this passage of Scripture, primarily over the past couple of verses, has been oftentimes referred to as the Lord's Prayer. But if you read and understand the context of the Bible and what it's teaching here, you'll know that this is not, in fact, the Lord's Prayer, but rather it is a model prayer that the Lord gives to His saints. It is more as such a manner or a figure of the prayer to pray, because the disciples are inquiring of the Lord of these things. They want to be taught. They're hungry for righteousness, and they ask Him things such as, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so Jesus, being the good teacher, He teaches His disciples in this passage of Scripture regarding prayer, somewhat of a basic format, somewhat of some basic ideas that we find in what we would call the model prayer here, and that this is not necessarily the Lord's Prayer Himself, though oftentimes He did pray to the Father. This is somewhat different. This is for the disciples, and we'll get a little bit more into the details and the intricacies of that in just a moment. But I'd like for us to notice, first and foremost, that this was not a suggestion. God did not suggest that we pray. God doesn't say, "If you pray." You read about the passages of prayer in the Bible. This is a command from the Lord. He says, "When you pray." So basic theology for us tonight: I know that we're all sinners, amen. I know that we're all sinners, and I know that as we sin, there are two natures of that sin that we would call the sins of commission, things that we do willfully in defiance of God's holy law and His statutes and His ordinances, and there are sins of omission, things rather that we are commanded to do of God that we choose to ignore. And I feel that today, in this day and age, there is not one commandment ignored more clearly and more blatantly of the Lord Jesus Christ than that of prayer. I mentioned it just a moment ago, and I believe it to be true. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. I believe prayer is the hardest discipline in a Christian life if you're wanting to really pray the way that God wants you to pray. I'm not talking about just blessing your meals. I'm not talking about, now I lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about really praying in the Holy Ghost, seeking God's will earnestly. And the Lord gives us such a wonderful model for that in this particular passage of Scripture. And I've had such a good time here this afternoon dissecting this prayer and looking at it. And I believe there's about 5 or 6 or 7 things that we're going to look at before we go home tonight that can help us personally in our own prayer life. And the first thing I want for you to notice tonight is the possessiveness of this prayer. The possessiveness of this prayer. This is a possessive pronoun that the Lord makes there when He says what? Our Father. That enough right there is enough to preach on for the rest of the night.
Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven. What a glorious thing that when we come to God, we can say, Our Father. You say, Preacher, you mean I can come to God? Listen to me, friend. I'm a Baptist, but I'm not a Baptist because I was raised a Baptist, because I wasn't raised a Baptist. I'm a Baptist because the Bible teaches in the priesthood of the believers. That means you don't have to come to the preacher. You don't have to come to the pastor to get a hold of God, but you, as a born-again child of God, have direct access to heaven's throne through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus leads these disciples, when He tells them of this prayer, gives them this example, He says, Our Father, because that is something that the disciples can do themselves. See, the Bible says in Galatians in chapter number 4, it says this, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We are able to lay claim to the promises of God, to the kinship of God Almighty as the sons of God. As the Bible says in 1 John, it says this, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Paul would say in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, For in Him we live and we move and we have our being, for we are also His offspring. The psalmist said in the 103rd psalm, he said, Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Amen. I'm glad that God is always wanting to hear from me. It's a sad situation, the day and age in which we live, that so many relationships are damaged between parents and children. But you know, there's got to be something real wrong when a parent says, I don't want to hear from my son. Yeah. I don't want to hear from my daughter. I don't want to hear from my kid. There's something very wrong there, friend.
Amen.
I'm so glad that God always wants to hear what I've got to say. Amen. God always cares. God always lends an open ear. Amen. I've heard so many people speak highly of their parents and say they were always there to listen. They were always there to help. Thank God that we have a Heavenly Father and that we can lay claim to that here this evening, saying, Our Father. Amen.
Amen.
Not only do we see the possessiveness of this prayer, but we see the position of this prayer. He says, Our Father, which art in heaven. If we could get a hold of that right there, if we could get a hold of the position of our prayer, so many a times when we come to God, I believe that it would correct a lot of problems that we have in our prayer life. See, many a times, and I've been guilty of it myself, believe me, we just pray so flippantly. We just pray so carelessly. We just treat it like it's just like you're talking to somebody else. But listen to me tonight, friend. When you pray to God, you are entering into the throne room of heaven. Amen. That's why it's so very important to visualize these things, to understand these things, that you are coming before God when you pray, the God who sits upon the throne in heaven. We were talking in the office the other night after church, and we were talking about what John saw in Revelation chapter number 4 when God said, Come up hither, and God called the church up there, and there were the 24 elders gathered around the throne, and the interesting things that it was said that He was like unto look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne that shone like an emerald. And we were talking about these all things and the glories of God. And let me tell you something, friend, let me remind you, let me make it real for you here tonight. When you pray, you are before that God. You are before that throne. Your petitions are reaching the God of heaven.
Amen.
Heaven is not a figment of our imagination.
Amen.
Heaven is not just some fable that we devise to get ourselves through day by day. Heaven is a very real place tonight. And heaven's where God is, and heaven is where our prayers reach. When you pray to God, your prayers are reaching the third heaven. Amen. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven." Amen. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
Listen to me, friend. Your prayers never get to God late. Amen. You don't have to put an expedited stamp on it, friend. It's going to get there when you pray it. Keep your heart pure. Keep your life right with God.
Amen.
Those things are getting to God like that. They're reaching the heavenly host. Amen.
Amen.
Not only do we see the possessiveness in this prayer, the position of this prayer, this is very important. This is what I believe a lot of prayers lack in today's day and age, the praise of this prayer. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." See, we get the petition right. We're going to talk about the petition in a minute. We're going to talk about the gimme-gimmies. We're going to talk about the asking God for stuff. But a lot of times, people just want to skip right over this part right here, that hallowed be thy name. I was talking with Miss Connie a few weeks back, and she was mentioning how that she would have a prayer journal, and through that prayer journal she has every letter of the alphabet and every word she could think of describing the Lord Jesus, and sometimes she would go through that and just meditate on that and just pray through that and think on those things. My friend, that's an awful good thing for us to do when we come before God. One of my spiritual heroes in the faith, Pastor Daniel Buchanan, he preaches all the time on prayer. People ask him all the time just to come preach revivals on prayer. I've heard him book this guy to come to a camp meeting, not to preach, but just to get somewhere alone and pray, amen. And he got to preaching one day, and he said, "I don't know a whole lot about it. It's so practical. There's not necessarily so much deepness and so much intricacies about it." But he said this, "The best advice I can give you is when you come before God, remember who you are and remember who He is," amen. Oh, our prayers would let loose. Hallowed be thy name. Holy, 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 what the angels cry in heaven, is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. God's listening for that. God's desiring for that. You know that person just comes to you and the only thing, they just want something. They don't ever want to give you anything. They just want to take. They just want, "Gimme, gimme, 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 gimme." No thank yous. Many times, as sad as it is, that's how we can treat God in our prayer lives if we're not careful.
Amen.
Your prayer life's got to have a little bit of praise to it. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hallowed be thy name. We see the praise. We see the petition. We see what's inquired of the Lord here. He says this, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Hold on, time out a second. I'm going to back up in just a minute. That's too good to skip over. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He says, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Now listen to me, we're going to get a little bit theological, and I'm going to leave this with you so we don't have any ill understanding here. This is a prayer while God is still dealing with the disciples and they are expecting the coming of the kingdom of the Lord there on earth. We understand that, right? This is kingdom theology that we're dealing with, okay? We as Christians understand through what I believe the Bible clearly teaches that God is going to rapture the church out of here and Israel is going to be judged for 7 years before that kingdom is set up on earth. I believe that here tonight. I'm unashamedly premillennial. I unashamedly believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Amen. But as we look at this here tonight and we see these things that the Lord asked His disciples to pray for, the principle is what to keep in mind here. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth." I believe that's pretty practical for today's day and age. Amen. I believe that's still a pretty good prayer to pray. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen. I don't know about you guys. I'd like things a lot better down here on earth if they were like they were in heaven. Amen. God seated upon His throne. God being the centerpiece in all His glory, and all of us just on our faces realizing, recognizing exactly who we are in the sight of a holy God, praising the Lord. That's why I tell people, we get in church and we get rowdy and we praise the Lord a little bit and we shout. I said, man, you're not going to like heaven if you don't like that. Amen. You're not going to like it in heaven. That's all it is singing and praising and crying before God and worshiping the Lord. It's okay to praise the Lord a little bit.
Amen.
The Lord says, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I can't wait to get to heaven. And He brings the petition. Amen. Our Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Whatsoever we ask according to His will, amen, He's hearing those. God tells us to ask for these things.
Amen.
And we got a few things that we see here regarding this petition. We see the petition for God's plan. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ought to be praying for the will of God. We ought to be praying that God's will be done. As a matter of fact, we ought to pray that God's will be done no matter what the cost. It's an interesting thing. It's a fascinating thing. And I don't believe I might not ever be able to stand in this pulpit and explain it tonight, how that our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, not my will, but thine. What an example. You know what many of people want? They say, God, I want your will as long as it's what I want to. Prayer is not a room for negotiation.
Amen.
Prayer is a room to get on our face and beg God for His mercy. Beg God for His grace.
Amen.
Not only do we see the petition for God's plan, we see the petition for God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, if you'll recall just a few verses earlier in verse number 8, how that the Lord said this, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask of Him. He's not saying, I know exactly what you need, so don't even ask for it. That's not what He's saying. I believe that the Lord delights, though He knows what our needs are, before your need ever even arises in your life, God knows about it. God knows exactly what you need before the need ever even arises. So many oftentimes I love it when God answers a prayer request, and I'll get to talking about how or get to looking as to how God answered that request and what He did and how He worked that, and somehow it's brought to my knowledge that God was working on the answer for that prayer request before I ever even prayed it. Amen. Before I ever even had the need. That's the God that we serve.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that. Glory to God. We see a prayer for God's provision right here. God knows your needs before they arise, but listen to me tonight. God delights in our heartfelt petitions towards Him. God delights in the fact that we would trust and depend on Him to meet our needs. And let me tell you something else, friend, about an answered prayer request. You're going to appreciate it a whole lot more when you get it answered if you've been praying for it. Amen. If you've been fasting about it, if you've been seeking God's face about it, if you've been begging Him earnestly for these things and God answered those prayer requests, I say hallelujah to God when He answers them. You're going to thank Him a little bit. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. One of the best church services I ever had was sitting in this lady's kitchen, sitting at this lady's kitchen table right here. That boy she'd been praying for 35, 40 years, bowed his head, trusted the Lord, asked God to save him. Let me tell you, friend, we had church that day. Amen. I could tell she was sincere. The tears flowed from her eyes and she was praising the Lord a little bit. Hey, when God answers a big prayer, you're going to praise Him. Amen.
Yes, sir.
We got a petition for God's provision. Not only do we have a petition for God's plan and God's provision, we have a petition for God's pardon. Listen to me tonight, friend. Lots of pulpits don't preach repentance today. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In the gospel account of Luke, the Lord would say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You can't expect to have any kind of a prayer life that means anything if you don't take some time to get right with God.
Amen.
That's the first thing I do when I pray. And you can do it the way you want it, But that's the first thing I got to do when I pray before God. I got to get clean. I got to ask Him to recall to my mind all those thoughts, all those things that I did that day that were displeasing, that were sinful to Him, that were unholy in His sight. And I got to ask Him to forgive Him. My only plea before God is the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Understand that tonight. Because we don't deserve to be forgiven. Hallelujah. But we're made to be forgiven. God never made a plan to justify our sin. But He made a plan to justify us sinners. Amen. When He gave His Son on Calvary to die for us.
Amen.
It's so very important that we see the petition for God's pardon. John would say, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you read a little bit more, I'm not going to for the sake of time tonight. If you read a little bit further on past this amen where we read just a moment ago, he begins to talk about how that your Father in heaven forgives as you forgive here on earth. We read in the Old Testament how that God would tell Moses in the Pentateuch, back in the book of Exodus, He says, I will show mercy to who shows mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Makes you look at the world a little bit differently, doesn't it? Listen to me tonight, friend. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Jesus Christ was willing to go the ultimate distance, willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, lay down Himself to forgive us of our sins. How much more ought we to go to forgive our brothers and sisters? We couldn't go any further than He forgave. And the Bible tells us, I was talking on the phone with somebody today and we were talking about that. I believe the most simple commands in the Bible are the hardest to follow.
Amen.
Love like Christ loves. Do you understand what that means? Forgive as Christ forgave. Lord, help us. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those, as we forgive our debtors. We see the petition for God's plan, God's provision, God's pardon, and God's protection. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
That'll help you. Let me tell you tonight, friend, I would say of the prayers I pray for myself on a daily basis, I'd say half of it is praying for protection from specific things. From that leaven. Jesus said a little leaven, leaven at the whole lump. I pray, God, don't let me get hold of that leaven of the Pharisees, that hypocrisy. That leaven of the Sadducees, that humanism, that wickedness, don't let that creep into my theology. Don't let me get any part of that leaven of Herod and that hedonism and that self-desire to please the flesh above pleasing God. I have to pray for God to protect me from these things. Listen to me, friend, prayer warrior, you've got to build a wall around yourself to protect yourself from the enemy.
Amen.
Jesus, telling His disciples how to pray, He mentions this petition for protection here. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many of you believe tonight that's a prayer that God wants to answer?
Amen.
How many of you believe tonight that God desires for us to live victoriously in Him? I pray, I say, God, when You deliver me, I want You to help me to do so in such a way that You get the glory out of it. That's what this whole thing is about, is that God might get glory out of our lives. That is why we pray. That's why we win souls. That's why we preach. That's why we go to church. That's why we take communion. That's why we obey the words of God. That's why it's to give God the glory that He deserves. And last but not least, we've seen the possessiveness and the position, the praise, the petition. We see the prostration. See, what do you mean by that, preacher? That's an old word. It simply means getting down and humbling yourself. Laying down before God. Making yourself of no reputation. Getting down before God as humbly as you can. I want you to look at what the Lord says right here in verse number 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. You ought not pray, Lord, bless me with my kingdom. Bestow me with my own power, my own strength. Lord, help me to receive the glory. Nobody in their right mind would pray for that.
Amen.
They ought not to, because it all belongs to Him. The Bible says in John chapter number 3 and verse number 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. When you decrease yourself, you increase and you magnify God. When you choose to magnify and increase yourself, you hinder, you hide that candle. You hide that light. God wants for us to humble ourselves in prayer. To realize and to recognize. Listen to me. You want to realize how good you are without God? Go to Genesis chapter number 1. He picked that dirt up out of the ground and breathed into it. Best thing that ever happened to him. That God would bless us. That God uniquely and individually created each of us to give Him the honor and the glory that He deserves. And He, with that, gave us the free will to choose to serve Him. Amen. See, God could have created us as robots. God could have created us without sin, as sinless creatures, and just had for us to do His will on earth. But He wouldn't have got the glory out of that. He'd have got no glory unto Himself. So when does God get glory? When we humble ourselves, when we submit ourselves, when we willingly choose to obey Him out of love for His Word and His statutes and His commandments and His name.
Amen.
A lot of our prayers are missing that. A lot of our prayers, we beg for increase. Increase of goods, increase of materials, increase of money, all these things. But we don't pray, Lord, decrease me. Lord, get me out of the way. Lord, hide me that people can see You. What's your prayer tonight, church? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around but me. I know it's getting icy out there. I know we need to get home. But I wouldn't want to close the service tonight without asking. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight. It's not certain. 100% sure that if you died, heaven would be your home. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, why don't you raise your hand? Say, preacher, that's me. I've never been saved. I don't know Jesus in the pardon and forgiveness of sins, but I need to. I wonder if you're here tonight, maybe you say, preacher, I need a revival in my prayer life. I need God to help me to pray. I need God to teach me to pray. I need God to strengthen me in my prayer closet and help me, deliver me from thy foes, from that temptation. I need to get my prayer life right. I've been asking for the wrong things. I've been looking at it the wrong way. I want You to pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand tonight? God bless those hands all over the house. I invite you to come to the altar and pray tonight, church. I invite you to come.